Government Innovation and Veterans will be in order. Today is Wednesday, February 9, 2011. Let it be known that we do have a quorum. The first and only item on the agenda is Senate File 261. Senator Senjum is here to explain his bill. Senator Senjum, I believe you have an author's amendment, so why don't we move that first?
Mr. Chair, I have the A2 amendment, if somebody would move that to put the bill in order.
So moved.
The A2 amendment has been moved. I didn't see who that was. Senator Daley moved the A2 amendment. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion carried. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate File 261 is a repeat bill for me. Actually, I think it was 2004 or 5, more likely 2004. This bill went through a Republican House and a DFL Senate, I think with near unanimous approval in both bodies at the time. Was vetoed by the governor in large part, I'll be honest with you, from the standpoint of the pressure that he got from the regulatory agencies within state government, and he felt that he had to honor those requests. So we'll see where this one goes as well. But, Mr. Chair and members, this is all about regulations and rulemaking. And as you well know, as we work here, we put together statutes that not infrequently will give agencies an ability to, through rule, further define the statute and implement it. And I think if you're here for a little while, or if you've ever been on the other end of this, as I was working at Mayo for a good long time and working in regulatory affairs, you come to realize that sometimes the legislature may not have fully realized what the impact of a particular rule might be as it unfolds and as rulemaking takes place. Even though, Mr. Chair, there is a process there through statements of need and reasonableness and the opportunity to provide public comments within the administrative rulemaking procedure, although that all exists, many Minnesotans don't play the game to that depth and are generally unaware of what's going on. So to get to the point of the regulation, to Senate File 261, it's really relatively simple. If an agency were to put forth a rule, and if that rule were to cost any person or entity in excess of $10,000 in any year after the first year that it goes into effect, if it is believed that that's going to happen, and the agency has to make that assessment, and administrative law judge has to agree or disagree with their position on that. But if that is the case, then it comes back to the legislature for final approval. In other words, this is just really all about if it costs maybe, I'm not saying too much, but if reasonably speaking, at the level of $10,000, this regulation is going to perhaps have some cost burden on the affected parties, it can certainly go forward, but it has to go forward to the legislative approval. And then in Subdivision 4, there are some exceptions. If the legislature would understand it was going to cost some money going into this and they appropriated money, it wouldn't apply. If it is a rule that is has to do with implementation of a federal law, say Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, that would suggest to me at least it doesn't apply. And if the legislature simply says it doesn't apply and the statute doesn't apply, and I think that's they're the exceptions. So, Mr. Chair and members, it's a pretty simple idea. Basically, if a rule goes forward, it costs more than $10,000, and if it's not otherwise exempted within the proposed bill, it would come back for legislative approval, and at that point, the legislature can decide whether or not they want to impose this on the regulated community. So I would stand for any questions, and I appreciate the hearing today.
Thank you, Senator Senjum. Any questions? Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it went through unanimously through the – did I vote for this?
You did, according to the records I have here, Senator Dibble.
Gotcha. I'm looking at it in a whole new light.
Senator Dibble, it was a good idea then. It's a good idea now.
So I think it was 2003.
Any other comments from the committee?
Yes.
Senator Wager.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chair and Senator Senjum, have you had a chance to vet this with the new administration yet, given the Pawlenty administration's concerns last time?
Senator Senjum.
Mr. Chair and Senator Wager, no, actually I haven't. I'm certainly aware that there will be at least the representative from one agency here speaking in opposition to that. And I would simply understand their opposition. It's just the way that, in my view, the legislature thinks, and it's the way the agency thinks. They don't want us to muck in their business too much, and I think that's just the natural tendency tensions of government. So they will testify, at least one agency in opposition. We do have some testifiers for this, Mr. Chair, as well.
All right, Senator Senjum, do we have anyone that wants to testify for? Please come forward and state your name.
Mr. Chairman, Mike Hickey with the National Federation of Independent Business. we're the largest business group in the state in terms of entities with about 12,000 members statewide.
Would you spell your last name, please?
Oh, sure. H-I-C-K-E-Y.
Thank you.
And I want to thank Senator Senjum for giving us another try. As you know, over the years, we've had a broad delegation of power from the legislative branch to the executive branch. And that's the concern, is the many volumes of rules we've piled up over the years. I looked at it the other day. I believe there's 10 volumes of rules up in the legislative law library. And it does take a toll on various people out there in the private sector. This bill would also impact positively government too, and nonprofit organizations, and sometimes individuals. And so this is one effort to try to rein in a little bit of this broad delegation we've done from the legislative branch to the executive branch. I think the simplicity of the bill is really a positive. There is the Federal Regulatory Flexibility Act. It's a complicated law. I think you need a watchdog agency to ride herd on it. On the federal level, SBA, I believe, does that. But it's complicated law, require creating some new government. That's not going to be easy thing to do around here anytime soon. And that has its own process to it to try to give people input into rulemaking. We have a lot of those facets already in our State Administrative Procedures Act, but that's one way to go at it. But I think the simplicity of this is really one of the more salient points, the fact that the people with the election certificates are going to get a say about rules that get expensive on people. To a small business, $10,000 is a lot for one thing, for one rule. That's a lot of money. And so, you know, it puts it back in the hands of you guys with the election certificates, and we can't see anything bad about that, and to have more oversight at the legislature. I did want to mention that Wisconsin has something similar. They actually have a standing committee on rules that reviews a lot of their rules before they go into effect. And so that is a very positive and somewhat similar to what Senator Senjum's trying to do here today, although they have a standing committee. And it's part of their formal process that they feel strong enough that the rules ought to be looked at a second time by the legislature, really for all practical purposes a first time by the legislature before they go into effect. And so that's neighboring Wisconsin. It's working well. And this is very similar, obviously, with you guys getting a chance to review something that meets a certain threshold. So I can't see anything wrong with this. The people with the election certificates get a final say on something that's going to be onerous to people. And strongly urge you to support it.
Thank you, Mr. Hickey. Any questions for Mr. Hickey? Thank you very much, sir.
Mr. Chairman, they're letting me off quite easy here.
They are.
Really got grilled in the House. Thank you.
Right. We have one more that would like to speak in the affirmative, Mr. Larson. Please state your name.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you. My name is Dan Larson, and I am representing the Minnesota Rural Counties Caucus today. We're 25 counties that advocate for rural concerns. So here today to speak in favor of the bill and thank Senator Senjum for bringing it forward. This might be a good opportunity to echo the words that one of my members spoke at a meeting earlier this spring when addressing unfunded rules, mandates, and regulations that the state imposes on increasingly cash-strapped counties. And he said, please tell them, or tell them to please just leave us alone for a little while. Let us adjust to some of the rules, the cuts, the regulations that are coming our way too fast. So I'm here to, number one, honor the wishes of a good, important member of mine, and to support the bill. If you'd like, Mr. Chairman, members, I can get into an incident or a concern that we have that brought this testimony and these issues forward. It kind of headlines for us what the issue is, and that would be the SST rules, or the subsurface treatment system rules, that our membership, our environmental professionals have participated in every aspect of the public process in this case, and to this date it remains a very confrontational issue between our member counties and the state. So with that, I'll just end my testimony thanking again Senator Senjum for bringing it forward and urging your support.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Any questions for Mr. Larson? Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Larson, is that the rule, the SST rule, is that the one that has to be complied with by, I think, is it April of 2012? Is that the rule? And can you expound on that just a little bit?
Mr. Larson.
Well, I believe that is the date. In effect, I believe it was 2008 when the septic system rules began. There was concerns about the process. There was legislation that came forward last year to kind of expand, give a little increase the deadline, and I think you're correct in that date.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just curious about a couple of things. Not having served on this committee or its predecessor, I just don't recall how often under the $25,000 threshold has Senator Senjum have we approved rules?
Senator Senjum?
Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, I don't have that information. I'm not sure anyone has, but maybe somebody in the audience. I don't have that.
I believe Mr. Hickey would like to respond. Please come forward and again state your name.
Then I'll add to the question, too, because Mike Hickey knows a lot of stuff.
Senator Dibble.
I'm just wondering how much work we're signing up for as a committee or a legislature or our staff. You know, and I saw the fiscal note doesn't show any expense, but I'm curious just how, you know, are we going to see a lot of rules with this new $10,000 threshold? And we're also construing it more expansively to any entity, not just local units, or I think right. It was fairly narrowly construed under the $25,000 threshold. So what are we contemplating in terms of legislative activity?
Mr. Hickey.
Mr. Chairman, Mike Hickey again. I hope I'm not wearing out my welcome here. I did do some research on this, Senator Dibble, last year for a presentation before the Small Business Caucus over in the House. And based on what I found out last year from doing some digging, there had been no usage of it. It really was kind of Senator Senjum can portray it himself, but I mean, I guess it was a compromise on top of a compromise after, you know, getting what we thought was a really good bill, surprisingly vetoed by Governor Plenty, that one House member called a, quote, rookie mistake this morning, but nonetheless, it occurred. And so Senator Senjum was able to pass what you see in 14.127 right now. What you got to keep in mind about that is the affected small business or small city has to petition for relief or a waiver, and so it's not an automatic, and apparently no party, based on what I could find out last year doing my research, had stepped forward and tried to petition, and it has that really high cost of $25,000.
So, Senator Dibble. Chair, to my second, the second part of my question, so what do we anticipate without the petition process, construing the affected parties more broadly and lowering the financial threshold? How many rules are going to come before this committee or for the legislature, and what kind of work is our staff?
Hard to say, Mr. Chairman. Maybe Senator Senjum wants to weigh in too, but these are prospective rules only. We'll have to see what gets promulgated. I think just passing this law might have members of the Senate be more aware of what they're doing and possibly trying to anticipate what kind of rules would come out of a bill But it's a perspective, hard to say.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Dibble, and you know this too, we through statute give agencies rulemaking authority, and so as was pointed out, there'll probably be a little bit more consciousness about that and how this rule might apply. So in that sense, I don't think that's bad, and I would, again, simply offer if during the statute approval process there's a recognition that this rule is important and it does cost more, that can be addressed within the bill, and then all this does not occur. This is more maybe for, you know, the inadvertent or I didn't know that at the time the bill passed kind of situation.
All right. Thank you very much. Any other questions?
Just one more.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks. Sorry. I mean, I did read the bill, but maybe this detail escaped me. If the rulemaking process is occurring while we're not in session, does the effective date of the rule then have to be delayed until we do come back into session, or do we envision that we would engage the Legislative Coordinating Commission in some fashion? So there might not be a delay in the implementation of the rule if that is undesirable.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, it is my understanding the way that this was put together, and as I have read it and understood it and thought through it, that it would need to come back to the next legislative session. Now, I'd like to get a little help with some answers, or this answer from the standpoint of Senate Counsel.
Senate Counsel.
If he has some help.
Mr. Bonner.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Senjum, Subdivision 3 in the bill on page 1, specifically lines 17 through 19, contains the legislative approval requirement. And I think what that would allow would be approval by a law enacted during the session when the rule has been proposed. So it could happen more speedily in that circumstance, but certainly if the rule were proposed in the interim, you'd need to wait until the beginning of the next session at a minimum.
All right. Do we have any other testimony to the positive? All right. Any negative, anyone here that would like to testify to the negative? If so, please come forward. Please state your name.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Senator Senjum, my name is David Thornton. I'm Assistant Commissioner at the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Senator Senjum is right. A number of agencies have some concerns with this legislation. He mentioned the obvious concern, but I have a few others that I'd like to raise that are shared by a number of departments, including the Department of Education, Department of Natural Resources, and Mr. Myers here to speak on their behalf. The Department of Transportation, EQB, the Department of Health, and the Department of Labor and Industry. And those are just the ones we were able to actually have some communication with over the last few days. This does have broad impact. It impacts a lot of rulemaking that a lot of agencies and departments conduct on a regular basis. A few of the concerns that I'd like to raise, a $10,000 threshold is a lot of money for an individual, but it's not a particularly large amount of money for a large corporation, and a lot of the regulations that we at the PCA promulgate are regulations that affect big industry. It may be worthwhile to think about different kinds of thresholds if this legislation is moving forward. It might be more efficient to do that. More importantly, I think, a lot of the rules that are adopted by agencies, and perhaps maybe even most of the rules that are adopted by agencies, are done so through non-controversial rulemaking proceedings. And that generally means that a lot of effort and time has been spent on the part of the agency proposing the rule and the parties that are going to be regulated and other parties like citizens that are concerned about the rule to sit down and work through the issues, understand what they are, and arrive at some sort of a proposed rule that people can work with, like, or live with. And it seems to me that it would be a little bit wasteful to, after all of that time and after all of that time and effort's been spent on hammering out a rule that works, to then have to come back and revisit it again. Another issue that I raise is that there is an exemption in here for rules that are adopted in response to federal mandates or federal regulations, and it's not the case for many of the departments, but it, for the Pollution Control Agency in particular, many, if not most, of our rules are promulgated in order to comply with federal regulations. So for the most part, this might not even affect a lot of the rulemakings that we have. And finally, there already is statute that provides the legislature an opportunity to get involved in rulemaking early on, and that's Chapter 3.8 involving the Legislative Coordinating Commission. To my knowledge, they have involved themselves in only one rulemaking, at least that we've been involved in over the last few years. And the result of that was that we made a substantial change to the rule that we were proposing, and I think it was a change to the better. But for whatever reasons, the LCC has not been involved in any other rulemakings that we've done.
Thank you, Mr. Thornton. Let's move on to Mr. Myers before we open up for questions. Please state your name.
Mr. Chair, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources, and thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Along with Mr. Thornton's comments, we too have concerns with the bill. Dealing with a person or entity and the impact for the rules that the department does may be extremely difficult because of the broad array of different rulemaking opportunities or proposals that we have to deal with. Oftentimes, we're mandated by the legislature to perform or undertake a rulemaking requirement, and that to that extent, it seems like this requirement of this bill would be duplicative in that we would have to come back to the legislature once again and tell them what the outcome that they told us to achieve was. With that stated, during the statement of need and reasonableness process, these costs and impacts are often determined or always determined by the ALJ, so we feel that it is somewhat duplicative, again, to have this come back to the legislature for approval with the ALJ reviewing what that impact would be to a business or person or entity. One of the outcomes that will occur is that many more DNR rules, or all of our DNR rules possibly, would become subject to legislative approval, extending the time period that we have, which is already taking 18 to 24 months. Another piece that we're concerned about is the bill does exempt the good cause exemption process found in 14.388, but we also use exempt permanent rule authority found in 14.386 and expedited rulemaking authority found in 14.389 as well. We feel that these two other processes should probably be exempt as well, since this would be authority that the legislature would have to pass on to us. Lastly, Mr. Chair, we're just concerned of the overall impacts of this, what it would do to our rulemaking capability after we spend a substantial amount of staff time and effort to develop a rule, having three or four public hearings throughout the state, the costs associated with that only to come back and have to go through legislative approval and possibly denied or sent back to the drawing board just doesn't make sense to us. If that's the case, we should know what we're asking for up front when that rulemaking authority is being granted to the department, and I'll go into that knowing full well what those impacts are going to be rather than have us go through a process and then to come back to the legislature once again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Meyer. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Chair. Appreciate the testimony. It's helpful, but I'm just curious about the fiscal note, which shows no impact. So is that reflective of a determination that there's no impact, or is it reflective of the earlier testimony that we heard from Mr. Hickey? We just can't know what's going to happen.
Mr. Thornton.
Fiscal impact? Or?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dibble, I don't believe we were sent a request for fiscal impact. I would think that all of the departments should fill one out. And I would think that there'd be an impact on the legislature as well for the rules that would have to come back.
I believe in 2005, the PCA had no fiscal impact.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. 2003.
Okay.
And, I don't remember how I felt about the bill.
Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is just a procedure question here in the bill. You have a repealer. Senator Sanjum, but normally it states what the repealer is in the bill, so I'm wondering why this one doesn't. doesn't have the repealer written out.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Goodwin. Help me catch up to your, would you repeat your question again?
Sure.
I just need to catch
Mr.
up.
Mr. Chair, Senator Senjum, normally in the bill it says what the repealer is. You know, that was decided by the legislature years ago because there used to be tons of repealers in bills and nobody knew what they were when they
Senator
went to vote
Goodwin,
on it.
Why don't we ask council to respond
to that.
Could you do that for us, Mr. Bonner?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman, Senator Goodwin. Yes, it is a requirement that the bills contain the repealed sections, and I do have another copy of this that contains one, but I think the one that was distributed to the committee is some sort of oversight.
Could we have the correct bill distributed before we end up voting? I would like to have that repealer spelled out.
I think we can
copy the repealed section.
Comply with that.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Senator Senjum before we get that copy here?
Mr. Chair, may I just make a comment?
Senator Senjum.
As was pointed out by the representative from PCA, a lot of, frankly, what they cover, and I'm not going to say all, but certainly a lot of what they cover in the area of air, water, and waste is federally directed. That's exempt. They're going to go forward with their rulemaking as certainly necessary to put the federal bills in a form that they can be implemented in Minnesota. You know, I certainly understand that. The other thing, though, I think for non-federally implemented statutes here that we put forward, I think that this is going to create a greater consciousness amongst the legislature from the standpoint if rulemaking is necessary and if it's a reasonably obvious, we're going to put forth a rule that's going to have, you know, some degree of cost, and it's going to be hard to measure at that point. At that point, the legislature can and the author can deal with that within their bill, and make that all work in my mind. So I think the important thing, from my perspective at least, is that this particular bill, I think, subjects us all to a little bit more consciousness about the implications of our bills and the associated rulemaking that's going to go with it, and what the effect those rules might have on the regulated public. And from that standpoint, I think it's a good thing to do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're handing out the copies.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
I agree with Senator Senjum that's desirable for us to be aware. I don't see in the bill, though, where, you know, maybe it's just the idea is this, we kind of hold it in our minds, knowing that something might come back if it costs more than $10,000 during the rulemaking process that gets determined, though. The determination of the $10,000 threshold doesn't really kick in, or the requirement to determine the $10,000 threshold doesn't really kick in as we're proposing legislation, not as I read the bill, unless I'm misreading the bill. It occurs during the whole rulemaking process. Yeah. I think the ALJ and the agency need to make that determination. It might be desirable to just figure out, I don't know if that would bog down legislation or, you know, kind of harm our fiscal analysis and our ability to move legislation through more efficiently if we made that determination more upfront before we even pass the bill. But these requirements trigger after we pass the legislation, then the rule would come back to us subsequently.
Senator Senjum, do you want to respond to that?
And Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, you know, I think you're right. You may not know, and probably wouldn't. On the other hand, and let's see, just maybe I can speak from an example, and this goes back a few years. But if I were legislator that introduced the Infectious Waste Management Act of 2011, I think generally speaking, I would have some instincts which would tell me that you know, I'm going to do this. It's probably important. And that we're going to have some rulemaking, and that's going to have some impact on the regulated community, and it's probably going to cost somebody across the state of Minnesota more than $10,000. And if that is the case, then why don't I just take care of it in my bill?
Senator Dibble, I was just rereading this again, and on page one under subdivision two, as I understand it, that an agency must make the determination required by subdivision one before the close of the hearing record, or before the agency submits the record to the administrative law judge if there is no hearing. Does that help? I mean,
Mr. I believe the hearing record is specific to the rulemaking process, which would commence after legislation was passed that would trigger the need for a new rule. So legislation's passed, signed, into the statute books, and then the agency begins its work, and then the determination is made.
Then would it be fair to say that we as legislators should do a little bit more due diligence on the cost of our legislation?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So what I'm suggesting is maybe that get built into this bill. So because Senator Senjum's own stated goal is that we do that, and we have more awareness as we're passing and proposing legislation and passing it. It might address some of the agency concerns. You know, we go down this path, we're kind of directed to do that by legislation, and we run into this $10,000 threshold, and you're going to yank us back.
Well,
kind of getting whipsawed by the legislature.
Right.
So.
In my mind, when I look at this, I think that's what it's doing right now, Senator Dibble, and this is kind of opening the book, saying, legislature, please do a little bit more due diligence. I don't know that it would be necessary to have that within this.
Let me ask a question of counsel. Is there any, do we have any guidance in how fiscal notes are analyzed and published, that fiscal notes analyze the effect of a rule that's going to arise out of legislation that we pass? I mean, does the fiscal note process give us what we need ahead of time before we pass the statute?
Mr. Botter.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dibble, in addition to the fiscal note process, there is a rule note process. I guess I'll start this by saying I've never seen a rule note, but Section 3.985 requires that allows the chair of a standing committee to which a bill that contains rulemaking has been referred to request a rulemaking note. And that rulemaking note could include or should include reasons for the grant of authority, the people that would be affected, the cost of the rule for affected persons, and so forth. So that is an option in the process now, but it's entirely optional and not required.
Thank you. Senator Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, for a comment and a motion. I think, frankly, the inconvenience that this might cause regulatory agencies and the legislature is an absolutely good thing. It seems to me that if we are putting upon businesses to a point where it's affecting their ability to operate and be profitable, that should be overseen by the legislature. And if we're passing statutes out of here that have that kind of fiscal impact on businesses, we should have to take it seriously. And I think Senator Senjum's comment, I appreciate that. I think this is every bit as much of a directive to the legislature as it is to regulatory agencies to say, you got to think about the impact of your legislation upon businesses and individuals. And, the gentleman that testified on behalf of the agencies, to some extent, they're right. We give them a directive to do something and it costs money. That really isn't, quote, their fault. But it is our fault. And the legislature needs to take that seriously. So in light of that, Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate File 261 as amended pass out of this committee and be re-referred to the Committee on Local Government and Elections.
Senator Thompson has moved that Senate File number 261 as amended be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Local Government and Elections. Is there any further discussion?
Yes.
Senator Wigger.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, on the historical perspective, I know things change, but as this moves along, could staff get for us a copy of Governor Pawlenty's veto letter on that?
Yes, we can do that.
As well as the vote on the Senate floor, where apparently it passed non-controversially. I'd just like to be reminded.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And then finally, the third thing, if council could juxtaposition this proposal with what we have now, mm-hmm. with what we acted on before.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Wieger, the existing law that you see, I think we provided a copy to all the members now, has two separate thresholds. Well, it's got a $25,000 threshold for the cost of the rule, and that's as applied to a business that has less than 50 full-time employees. So in other words, there would be no cost threshold for a business with more full-time employees than that, or a statutory or home rule charter city with less than 10 full-time employees. So it's a $25,000 amount as applied to smaller entities. And then I think the basic procedures are similar. There are some additional exceptions. There's the waiver authority for the governor. I think that I'm not sure this bill picks up.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Mr. Barron, I do understand what's being proposed. I just wanted to get a historical comparison on what we had acted on before. So
the veto.
And the veto message by Governor Pawlenty. So, if we did act and it was non-controversial, I just wanted that comparison. You're not going to have it now, or it probably would have been here. But, it seems like it's moving along, but there'd be a chance to visit that. I'm somewhat persuaded by what Senator Thompson had mentioned as well, and I recall some of the testimony when we talked before, and I just want to look at some of that evidence that we had on the record before. And I have another hat that I wear when I'm not a legislator. I do work in regulatory compliance and am aware of similar type laws in states, and I understand why it's being proposed.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Well, as this moves along, I'm also persuaded by Senator Thompson's remarks, but to my earlier points, I was really interested to learn. You never know what you're going to learn when you wake up in the morning. I didn't know about this rule note option, so I would respectfully suggest perhaps to the chief author that maybe we strengthen that provision, and that's where the legislature can do its work ahead of time.
Thank you.
Yeah, we could do that.
There's no further discussion. I'd renew my motion.
Senator Thompson has moved that Senate file number 261 as amended be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Local Government and Elections. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Senjum.
Mr. Chairman and